As I talk to people, not only here in the congregation, but in other congregations and in other places, different occasions, one thing seems to come to the fore, is that many of God's people are under great pressures. They are facing difficulties and issues that they may not want to talk freely about, but I've gathered this over these past number of months, these past couple of years. And so as I sought for guidance again tonight for the message, the Lord has directed my attention to verse 2. Notice what it says there in verse 2. My brethren, talking to believers of course, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And tonight for a little time I want to talk to you about facing our trials. Now when men and women seek to develop and maintain the pure religion that is mentioned in verse 27 of this first chapter, they can expect to have their faith tested. This is brought to attention here in the second verse. So the trial of faith is brought to attention in the opening part of the chapter, and then he brings it to a close dealing with the subject of pure religion. The word translated temptations actually means trials. So we're thinking tonight about the trials that these believers were facing as they were scattered abroad, and the trials that we as the people of God face from time to time. And that there's this theme of trials that James takes up in verses 1 through 4. Now, when a Christian goes through personal trials, he or she discovers the kind of faith they really possess. But trials not only reveal faith, they also develop faith, and they also develop the Christian character. And I'm sure you've discovered this over the years. It may be a lot to take in right now, but looking back on your past history, I'm sure going through that trial, it was not a joyful experience to you. But looking back, you're able to testify tonight, the Lord worked through that trial to make me a better Christian, to make me a better man, to make me a better woman, to understand more clearly the way the Lord works with his people. Someone has said that temptations divide the world into two classes. Those who go down under them and those who meet them successfully and gain strength of character through overcoming those trials. To the one class, they are stumbling blocks. To the other class, they are stepping stones. I wonder, has your trial proved to be a stumbling block? Or maybe you can testify tonight at your trial, what you're maybe even going through tonight, has proved to be like a stepping stone along the way of life. To the one, they prove to be hindrances, and to the other, they prove to be helps. It is not our temptations, but the way we respond to them that really counts. Temptation, then, tries the faith of the child of God. It's the test of true religion. So this really was a timely message that James was sending to these Jewish Christians who were the objects of fierce opposition and persecution and therefore exposed to great temptation. James writes to instruct them on the subject. First of all, there is what I've called the fact of trials. Notice that word that is used there in the verse, my brethren, count it all joy when, he doesn't say if they come, that is trials, but when they come. So it makes it abundantly clear that as children of God, we are going to face trials. I think about the words found there in the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1, man is born of a woman, and is of a few days, and is full of trouble. So right from the very time of birth, we as individuals face trials and troubles, but more so I think when we become believers, I think that we do face these trials and difficulties. They become more real to us. And being a Christian doesn't exempt us from these troubles and trials. Now, there's a popular teaching today that says, once you become a Christian, it's all honey and no bees. The truth of the matter is this. The better Christians we are, the more severe the trials appear to be as we seek to please the Lord. Now, you know the words found in John 16, 33. In the world, ye shall, there's the emphasis there, ye shall have tribulations. Then again, over in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, yea, and all those that are godly, or live godly, shall suffer persecution. Now, the experiences that we as the people of God meet along the pathway of life are not by accident. Romans 8:28 makes it abundantly clear that all things work together for good to those that love God. There was an African king, this is going back many, many years ago, and there was a friend that grew up with him, and they used to go out to hunt. And it was the responsibility of the friend to load the gun for the king. Something happened on one occasion, and no matter what happened, the friend always said, that's good, whether it was negative or positive, whatever happened. So this day he got the gun sorted out, something went wrong, and as the king tried to fire the gun, it blew off his thumb. And his friend said what he always said before, that's good. Now the king was not impressed with that at all, standing there with missing the thumb. And so he gave the command, put him in prison. And so he did, put him into prison. And then a number of months later, the king went into another part of the country where they were known to be cannibals. And he fell prey to the cannibals, and they tied him up. I don't know exactly what they were going to do, probably eat him or whatever. And then they noticed that he was missing a thumb. Now, the people that they had always captured were full, were complete. And because the king had lost his thumb, they let him go. They weren't prepared to eat him or do whatever they were going to do with him. So at the time, you see, it was a terrible thing. He lost the thumb. He cast his friend into prison. So when he was released and set free, he went directly to the prison and he ordered his friend to be brought out of the prison. You see, all things do work together for good to those that love God. And the king's life was saved. It's a simple story. But I think that it brings before us something of the providence of God in regards to those who profess faith in Jesus Christ. We have a loving Father who controls the affairs of this world, who has a purpose behind each event. So the Christian should expect trials and difficulties as they make their way home to glory, but always keep in mind the Father, our loving Father, has a purpose in all things that befall the people of God. Temptation is the common cross and lot of all of God's children. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 makes that abundantly clear. And God promises not to keep us from temptation, but as you know, he gives to us the promise that he will deliver us out of temptation. Now, when we study, this is a little study you can do for yourself. When we study the difference between from and out of in the following verses, a little exercise for you to look at and study and let it sink into the heart. I think about the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 3, verse 11. He was at Antioch, and he was speaking there about the persecutions and the afflictions that he met when he was there. But he went on to add, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The Lord didn't deliver him from the persecution or from the afflictions, but he did deliver him out of those afflictions and persecutions. The Lord does not undertake to save us from, but out of temptation. Another occasion that comes to mind is a story in Daniel chapter 3:17. Remember the three Hebrew children? They said, our God is able to deliver us from, And then the verse continues, and will deliver us out of. He could have saved them from being cast into the fiery furnace, but he didn't. Rather, it was God's purpose and plan, for whatever reason, known only unto him, the Lord allowed them to face that difficulty, didn't keep them from it, but he was able then to deliver them out of it. Now, they could not claim deliverance from that temptation, but they could claim out of. And we know the story only too well. The Lord was faithful, and the Lord did exactly what he promised to do for his servants. So God's people must therefore expect to meet trials and temptations. Now, when you think of the only perfect man who ever was born and ever lived, was subject to nothing less than a personal confrontation with Satan for 6 weeks, Matthew chapter 4, and Luke chapter 4 as well. Temptation is not a sin. It's yielding to temptation is a sin. So Christ was tempted. There was nothing in him to respond to that temptation. But unfortunately with us, we have an old nature within us. When the temptation comes and we focus upon it, there's something within us that does respond to that unless we receive the help of God. And I'm sure you have fallen in your trial, you've fallen in your temptation, but aren't you glad as I am that the Lord was in hand to deliver us out? He didn't save us from it. He allowed us to enter that to test our faith, just to let us know what kind of faith we really do have. But he was always there to bring us out. So we have the fact of trials and temptations. And then we've got to move on. We think about the forms of trials. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into, listen to it, diverse temptations. And that word diverse simply means various or different or multicolored. It's the same word that Peter uses in 1 Peter 1 verse 6, where it is translated manifold temptations. You getting the idea? Getting the picture here now? The trials of life are not all alike. They are variegated, like variegated yarn that the weaver uses to make a beautiful rug. They're all different colors. There are many shapes and sizes and shades and the pattern that is given to the one involved in the trade. And you can apply this to our temptations, different shapes and sizes and colors of temptation. And God arranges and mixes the colors and the experiences of life to perfect his people, to make us more like Jesus Christ. We may not understand it. It might not be easy for us, but God has a purpose in it all. And he allows different things, different various trials, diverse trials to come our way to test us in different areas of our lives. The final product is a beautiful thing. And when we were in the States, we spent some time in Amish country, and some of the rugs and quilts that they make there are unbelievably beautiful. And I was able to bring a very beautiful one home as well. And we have it in home, and it reminds us of times of ministry in the United States of America. A beautiful thing. And God always aims at producing a beautiful thing in the lives of his people. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him. So, the phrase used in Hebrews 4:15 about the temptations of Christ is in all points, or in all things. In other words, the tempter used various and devious ways to assault Christ. And you'll notice the words, like as we are. And the thought that came to me when I was preparing the message is this. Whatever temptations come to us came to him first. Therefore, he knows how to deal with us and the temptation that we meet in life, because he had to become a man to face the difficulties that we faced so that he might be able to succor us in our time of need. He had to feel like a man and become a man, of course, a God-man, that he might be able to sympathize with you and sympathize with me when we face these various trials, these diverse temptations that we encounter in life. So he knows all about it. He was there first. He faced that thing before you ever faced it. And he knows how to conquer it. And by his grace, we too can overcome and be conquerors in all things. Praise be the name of the Lord. On occasions, the devil comes like a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And sometimes he comes as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11, I think it is, verse 14. They may be physical trials. They may touch our affections, our emotions. It may involve loss or of possessions. I think about Joseph. Joseph was a man of unquestioned integrity. Yet he was thrown into prison for a crime he didn't even commit. Injustice. But you see, the way up for Joseph was the way down. He had to go down into the pit first of all before he could rise to the throne. And for all those years, maybe 13 years or thereabouts, until he was 30, I'm sure he wondered what was going on. But God had a purpose for his life. God had a plan for his life. And not a moment before God's appointed time did the deliverance come. He had to wear the prison robe before he wore the palace robe. Do you see that? What a man he was. The most Christ-like man that we read of in the Holy Scriptures. And he was cast into the pit and into the prison for a crime he did not commit. Job was a blameless man. He was a godly man who feared God. Yet he lost everything. And one day, he lost his family. He lost his finances. He lost his fortune. He lost his fitness. He lost his friends. And one day, but when you come to the end of the book, chapter 42, and those concluding verses, you will discover that God gave him twice as much. Twice as many children, twice as many flocks, everything else. And all the way through the book of Job, he's asking questions. He doesn't understand why these things have happened to him until near the end of the book. Remember the man who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So all the way through, he's dealing with these issues. His friends forsake him. They accuse him of being an ungodly man. And Job was asking the questions, and he was trusting. Down in the valley, down in the dumps. But at the end, the Lord visited him and gave him twice as much. Isn't God a wonderful redeemer? Daniel was a totally committed man to God. He prayed 3 times a day. Yet all he got for praying was a free trip to the lion's den. Not to view the lions, but to be cast in, to be consumed. And the Lord allowed him to go in there. But you know the story well. God just shut the lion's mouth so they could not harm him. So James is writing to people who were facing trials and struggles and difficulties. These were Jews who were scattered Jews. They lost their homes, they lost their jobs, they lost their belongings. Listen, there's no telling what will happen in our country. Things are not good. And we need to be more alert than ever before. And the way things are going, things have escalated so quickly. And who can tell what might happen to us in the days that lie ahead? Only God knows. But things like this have happened before. We need to cry to God, get before the Lord again as never before. Now, we may not face the same trials, or maybe we will face the same trials that these early Christians did. Our diverse trials may be loss of job, may be trouble with our children, financial difficulties, illness, relationship issues. We all can meet with these things from time to time. Doesn't exempt us from these things. And then we've got to come to an end. So we have the fact of our trials and the forms of our trials. And then finally, the force of our trials. Notice that word, or the words, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall. When ye fall into divers temptations. Now, these words, when ye fall, do not suggest an accident of some kind. Rather, it could be translated to encounter or come across. And the Greek word that is used is only found three times in the New Testament. It's the same word that is used of the traveller who fell among the thieves on the Jericho road. Remember Luke chapter 10, verse 30, he fell among thieves. He fell among thieves. It was a savage attack. It was a sudden attack. There was nothing, not something that he had planned on. He never thought this would have happened to him. He rounded the corner, and suddenly on that treacherous stretch of the road, he was surrounded by unexpected trouble. There was no warning, no time to run away, no time to avoid it. Suddenly, they pounced upon him. And there he was, knocked to the ground and beaten senseless. Clothes ripped off and his money stolen and everything else, left to die. He was going about his normal business. Then suddenly, the attack was on. It was very unexpected. It happened suddenly. The word is also used in Acts 27:41, and falling into a place where two seas met. The Apostle Paul is on his journey to Rome on that vessel. There was no warning. It happened suddenly. Most problems come like that. All it takes is a telephone call. All it takes is when you're driving just to look in the wrong direction, wrong time. We were going home a couple of weeks back, I think it was, just at the roundabout there, down this Windy Hall, the wee road that turns in there. And there was an accident. It could have been us. Somebody kept me talking here for an extra 5 minutes. We probably would have been in the middle of the whole thing. These things happen to us suddenly. They're unavoidable. We face trials of many kinds in life. Some of the so-called prophets of today are propagating a theology that is foreign to the Bible. I've got to emphasize this. These new wave preachers, if you like, tell their followers that the cause of sickness or difficulties is sin in the lives of those believers facing these things. And it's all due to lack of faith. A lot of nonsense. A lot of rubbish. Deceiving the people. Many gullible and immature Christians fall victim to this kind of false teaching. It's an insult in the face of a holy God. Then when they fall into or face trials of some kind or another, they suddenly fall and falter. They lose their faith, the faith they thought they had. Paul says these trials are common to man. Something that you meet, something that I meet as a child of God. God is always testing his people to make us stronger. Not to something that we can't escape. You can ask Abraham, whom God told to sacrifice his only son Isaac, I want you to give him up. That was a trial. That was a test. That's how God tested his faith. And these brethren that are mentioned here, James addressed, they were born again, verse 18 of chapter 1. They were waiting for the coming of the Lord, chapter 5, I think it is verse 7. This is true. But they were also facing trials, temptations, and tribulations. We will be tested. God will see to that. And if we think for a moment that when we get spiritual or mature, we will stop being tested, we are mistaken. Because God is always working with and upon his people, testing his children to develop their faith, to make them more like his well-beloved Son. Facing our trials, the fact of our trials, the forms of our trials, and the force of our trials. May God give us grace and help in times of need, that we may become overcomers by his matchless grace. So let's get down to seek